All right, so the NBA draft is wrapped.
Yes, sir.
Pistons add a couple of players, and also they trade Isaiah Stewart away.
Yes, they do.
And so what are the ramifications of that trade? Let's talk to Eric Vincent, our Detroit Pistons beat reporter for ClutchPoints.com. E, it's good to have you back, my friend.
My pleasure. How you guys doing this morning?
We're good.
We're good. I saw some fan reaction to the Isaiah Stewart trade, and it was mixed, honestly. Obviously, he brings a lot off the bench, great rebounder, you know, averaging under 10 points a game, but he brings an edge to this team that I think was needed. But they get a lot of financial flexibility because of this move. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I was stunned. Beef Stew has been one of the, you know, focal point beginning players of the restoration period for the Detroit Pistons. Coming a part of that, you know, core four, you know, in 2020 drafted by Troy Weaver. And the franchise spoke so highly of him. Fans, teammates, front office, coaching staff calling him the backbone of this defense and of this franchise. But at a period now where the Pistons are past their evaluation period and they're looking for championship, you know, expectations, these are the kind of moves that you have to make. He had some good impact in the playoffs in some games. However, he was kind of outplayed by Paul Reed, and he was made a little bit more expendable considering the circumstances. And with Jalen Duren still looking as being their franchise big of the future, it made Stu a little bit more expendable than the other two guys. So, you know, it was definitely shocking. I think the return of whatever this deal is going to determine, you know, the value of how good this trade is, or this trade is going to be for the Pistons. But very shocking, not to say the less. I mean, we definitely wish Stu the best, and definitely did not see this coming, to be honest.
Eric, what do you think about this cash to buy the 53rd pick from the Knicks and pick up this 7-foot center, Ugano Ayinzo from Virginia? What do you think about that?
I'd be lying to say if I, you know, had a huge, you know, gauge on his, you know, game prior to the move.
Mm-hmm.
It helps for them to have some size. You know, Stu was a little undersized. Obviously, same with Paul Reed, being like kind of like 6'8", 6'9", players. So it helps to get a little bit more size. How much they'll have to lean on him is going to be a question mark in itself as of right now. But, you know, I don't mind it. I think they needed some beef in the front court. I think he offers them some length and some shooting and some versatility at the position. But luckily at this point in the Pistons' future, they're not over-relying on their rookies, their young guys, to come in and make an immediate impact, which shows how much progress that they've made. So he'll be able to take gradual steps, you know, within his development, and hopefully it'll take him and the Pistons far in a good winning direction.
Yeah, I think that's the key point here, is like fans were ragging on him for these picks,
mm-hmm.
and even going to the Abukokori trade and they get him on board. You know, he's a speedster. He's got handles. He's got patience. He can shoot the ball. Yes, Stanford stinks, but that's okay. I mean, they're not expecting him to start right away. So they've got their core. They got a couple of accompanying pieces to that core. And then they want to go out, it sounds like, to make an actual trade for a guy that's going to be able to come in and score a bunch of points and lead this team to the next that next plateau. So I don't have a problem with really either of these picks, because I don't think they're going to be impactful players here initially.
Yeah, I like the upside of Abukokori. I think he could be a really good player in the NBA, but I think kind of as the roster stands right now, it kind of looks like kind of what they had with the Beef Stew situation. You have three other point guards that are in front of him right now. So you have Kay, Danish Jenkins, and then Marcus Sasser. And then trading up for him was kind of, to me, a bit of a question mark if they plan on keeping him, because, again, you're going to have to create opportunity for him to get the best out of that value, and it's going to be a little tough when you just gave, you know, Danis extension, and then you still have Sasser on the books, you know, on the roster. So they're going to have to find a way to clear his area if they're going to try to get the most out of him. I definitely thought they were going to maybe use that pick to try to land a trade. It's still possible that, you know, maybe they could work something out, you know, with some of the other assets that they have within the roster and with their other draft flexibility. So I don't think trades is done. I think he's making it very clear that they are trying to get some help around Cade Cunningham, that they do have, you know, bigger postseason expectations. He spoke about that during the draft and after as well. So I think he's making it pretty clear what he's trying to do. I like it. I like the aggressiveness. I like the intention. because you don't want to waste this kind of window and this kind of time when you're in an Eastern Conference that's open and you have an MVP caliber player in Cade Cunningham. You want to make these kind of moments count the best you can.
Does the activity from the night, the draft night, kind of tell you that Trajan is thinking this team is right on the cusp of a deep playoff run, or is he still kind of selectively kind of tearing down parts of the old foundation to build it his way?
I think he understands the magnitude of the moment now. The past couple seasons, he's talked about, you know, this being an evaluation period, you know, bringing in J.B. Bickerstaff his first season, still kind of learning what the young players were capable of, guys like Jaden Ivey, guys like Asar Thompson, Jalen Duren, Cade Cunningham, seeing how they could gel together and see how far they could take this team, especially when they were adding new veteran pieces like Tobias Harris, Tim Hardaway Jr., Malik Beasley. You wanted to see what was possible with those core guys. And I think he, at this point, has his answers. I think he knows that he wants Jalen Duren a part of the future. Cade is obviously the building, you know, core centerpiece. Asar Thompson, he obviously wants to be here as well. He spoke on wanting to build around them as the core three for this team. But you're going to have to do that with some proven, you know, bucket getters instead of just relying on young internal development. You know, that helps and that is valuable to have. But in this Eastern Conference and the NBA in general, everybody has multiple scoring punches, and you got to be able to keep up with that. We see Cade Cunningham struggle and kind of get tired as the season goes on with the workload that he has playing heliocentric basketball. We see his turnovers go up. We see a lot more added on his work plate. And you got to find a way to get him some help, and I think that's what they're trying to do now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Eric Vincent, we appreciate your time as always. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, fellas. Yeah, have a good one.
Yeah,
for
you got it.
Well.
You too.
You just bring in Kawhi and LeBron, and you'll be good.
That's
right?
It.
That's all you got to do, right?
That's all you got to do.
Say what?
Just bring in guys who don't play full seasons anymore.
Nope.
Perfect. That's exactly what we need to get over the hump.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. all right, All Talk coming your way next. I believe it's Marie Osborne filling in. Good. Marie's coming up next here on WJR. We'll see you tomorrow on a Friday. Have a good one.